And here we are coming to you live once again from our top secret broadcasting bunker here in Area 52, which is at 1233 American Legion Drive, Festus, Missouri. Don't tell anybody where we are. It's good to be with you today. God said it, I believe it. And that settles it. God said it. I want to start today out with just the word. John chapter 14 is, I was just looking at my Bible. I was studying this yesterday and looking at it again today. And what a blessing. I've got a ton of stuff that you guys have sent in the last few days. And I'm looking at my emails and you're just sending more in. And I'm going to try to deal with all of it today. You're noticing things that are going on. You're watching around the world and you're seeing things. And you know that we are nearing something in this world. You know that it's coming. We're seeing an increase in everything, an increase in occult activity, an increase in violence, an increase in immorality, an increase in sin. It's just like what we were talking about Tuesday. We're checking on the lump that the leaven is in, and we can see that it's just about full, is what we can tell, as it was in the days of Noah. John chapter 14, I love this. This chapter destroys a lot of false doctrine that various groups have. He said in John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, he said it unto Thomas, verse 5, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Period. The end. Jesus, and of course, Joel Osteen has got to put his 1 cent worth in, because what he's got to say is not worth 2 cents. He puts his penny worth in to Oprah Winfrey, who just comes. And I think it was all set up. There's no doubt in my mind that this, and if you've seen the interview, was very well scripted. Oprah asks him, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to God? Yes, Oprah, I believe that. But there are many ways to Jesus. He's a liar. He is telling lies. He is not telling the gospel. He's not telling the truth. He does not have what is in John 14. He doesn't have it. The Roman Catholic Church doesn't have it either, because they will tell you that there is Jesus and Mary and the saints and the Pope and the bishops and the priests. All of those stand between you and God. So if you want to get to the Father, it's kind of like calling customer service from any organization that you're in, whether it's your cable company, your internet company, whether it's your phone company, or the people that made your computer. It's like talking to them. You can't just get on the phone and say, I want to talk to the president of the company. Oh, well, you can't do that. Why, that's, you can't do that. So in Roman Catholicism, they tell you, you gotta talk to the priest. And the priest gets his stuff from the Pope. And then you got to go to the saints. And then you got to go to Mary. Then you got to go to Jesus, who, if he's in a good mood, if his mother put him in a good mood, then Jesus will intercede for you on your behalf to the Father. But that's not what John 14, 6 says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a multiple ways, not multiple truths. Well, that's true for you. That's true for this people over here. That's their religion. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he said, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? 1 John 5:7, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They are three, and yet they are one. I don't fully understand that, but just because my carnal mind does not understand it, it does not mean that it's not true exactly the way it says. If you remember Tuesday, somebody wrote me an email and said, How come you keep saying, how come you don't say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? How come you say Father, Word, and Holy Ghost? Well, I just quote Scripture, 1 John 5:7, and that's what it says to say, and that's what I say. Isaiah chapter 9, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who was it that Moses saw in the burning bush? It was the angel of the Lord. It was the Lord his God. Capital L-O-R-D. That's who it is. And so he said, verse 10, Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Listen to this. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, listen to this, all you works salvation people. He doeth the works. He doeth it. It is not I. It is God's work through me and in me. He is the one doing the work. He just chose us as the vessel to do the work through, to contain his word. Paul said you have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure is that? Jeremiah 32. God told Jeremiah, go buy the land and take the copy of the book. Take the book and write the evidence down in the book of the purchased possession. And put it in an earthen vessel that it may remain many days. We have the book in us. And that is the work of God. I love it. But he said, Believest not thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. In other words, they did not originate with Jesus. He didn't come up with it. He did exactly what he said in Hebrews. He said, I come low in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And so he says in verse 11, Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Can I just throw something at you here? Just something for you to think about. You hear preachers talking about the good old days. Oh, back in the good old days, used to have revivals. Oh, back in the good old days, used to have revivals 3 weeks long, and people would come from miles around and sit on wood stumps and, you know, eat chicken bones and fried rabbit tracks, and we had revival, and we did all this stuff. And I like to hear stories like that. I really do. I'm just a guy for the old days. I really am. But if all I had in my religion, in my walk, in my faith, if all I had was how it was in the good old days, if that's all I had, I don't have a whole lot. It's like someone who is advanced in years, and all they have left of their life is the memories of people that they used to know, things they used to do, love that they used to have, and all of that. They don't have anything else but what used to be, unless they are born again then they have something to look forward to. And I have this idea. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, or the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. I have this idea that the days that are ahead of us are far better than the days that are behind us. That's what I believe. You have people running around trying to manipulate these works and make them happen simply because, it's in the Bible, Jesus said we do all these works and raise people from the dead. They try to pseudo do these works. They fake it to make it look like they are fulfilling Scripture. And I'm telling you, if Jesus said these works are going to take place and greater ones than the ones he did, if Jesus said that, then he's going to do what he said he will do. And just because, now listen to this, just because he hasn't done it yet doesn't mean that he's not. I believe in a time for God's people right now, here, you and I, if I believe that we are living in this generation, I believe that the times that are ahead of us are far greater than any time in the past for the church. I absolutely believe that. I think there are things coming down the road where God is going to glorify his people. That's what I believe. Verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I believe you ought to ask. I believe you ought to ask God for things. And I maintain my position. I think when you pray, you ought to ask God for things. And God, if you are a child of God, and Jesus illustrated this, he said, which one of you fathers, if your son came asking for bread, would you give him a scorpion? No. And he said, if you being evil giveth your son good things, how much more your heavenly Father? And I believe you ought to ask God for things. I don't think you ought to quit asking. Well, I'm just afraid he'll let me down and not give me what I want. Let me tell you what this Bible says. God will either give you what you ask for, or he will give you something better than what you ask for. That's Scripture. We don't even know what to pray. And the Lord is able to do above that which we're able to ask or think. When Paul asked him to remove his thorn 3 times, God didn't say no. God didn't say, yeah, I'll do it, and then didn't do it. God gave Paul something better than what he asked for. And when Paul got the answer, he didn't go, but God, I wanted the thorn gone. Why don't you do what I tell you to do? Why don't you do what I ask you to do? You do it for John. You do it for Peter. That's not what Paul did. When God handed him the grace to endure the thorns, Paul said, I'll take that. I would much rather God be strong in my weakness. That's what I would much rather be. I know all about that. I know all about that. The power of God and the strength of God in my weakness. I get it. I understand it. Ask God. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then he said, verse 15, here we go. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jim Staley, somebody sent me an interview that Jim Staley did with his good buddy, the guy that runs WorldNet Daily. Can't think of his name right now. And they're just slobbering all over each other. Oh, you're so great, Jim. Oh, you're so great, WorldNet Daily. Oh, you're so great. Oh, God's using you to tell everybody they got to go back and keep the law. And Staley would love to, and I appreciate you sending me that. I listened to it, and I'm just shaking my head. I have quit. I used to come in every day and go to Drudge Report. Then I would go to WorldNet Daily. Every now and then I would go to Rents.com, look for weird stuff, UFOs and Bigfoot and stuff like that. I don't, but once, maybe in a blue moon, even look at WorldNet Daily anymore. Why? Because they have flipped over to the Hebrew roots cult, the Seventh-day Adventist cult. And it is. It is a cursed, works-based salvation. Jim Staley, Mark Biltz, who is making the circuit now. These guys are trying to look like they're mainstream. So they come up with all these prophecies based on all the Jewish sages said this was going to happen. It's a bunch of lies. And groups like Prophecy in the News, and they fall all over themselves for this stuff. And they use this verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah, see, if you love me, you'll do the Torah. Let's walk circumspectly around this verse and see what he means. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, capital C. I love that. That it may abide with you forever. You see that? Even the spirit of what? The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world, most, and lost people, unless God's going to save them, they cannot receive the truth. How does that work? Well, go look at what Jesus said. Here's the sower sowing the word, and it falls by the wayside, and as soon as it lands, what happens? The devil comes and eats it up. They cannot receive it. They have such a spirit around them that follows them everywhere they go. And whenever the word is given to them, those devils are right there to eat it up. You wonder why so many people are hardened against the gospel and hardened against you and hardened against your Bible. And they won't read it. They won't take the time to listen. They won't do anything. That's because there's a devil right there. Their lives are so full of devil influence. They're just hoarding around them. But it's the spirit of truth the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Who? The Comforter. He dwells with you and he shall be in you. And that's the Holy Spirit is the spirit, listen to me now, that always tells the truth. It never lies. The Holy Spirit always tells the truth. Do I believe my Bible is the inspired Word of God? I have to. I have to believe that my Bible is the inspired Word of God. Because if my Bible has mistakes in it, and the Holy Spirit quotes scriptures to me from my Bible, and my Bible is not true, then the Holy Spirit lied to me. And I won't accept that. I will not. I've been lied to before. I've lied to myself before. I've lied to other people before. I cannot live, and I will not serve a God who will not reveal the truth to me. I won't serve that God. I won't serve and live under the influence of a spirit that every now and then can say something that's not true. I got people all around me like that. I got kids around me that do that. So I'm not buying it. So he says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Do you see the little three things there? Ye shall see that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Man, I don't understand that. I comprehend it. but I believe it. I believe every word. And so you follow this. If you are in Christ and Christ is in the Father, guess where you are? In the Father. Not that they shall, verse 21, he that hath my commandments, watch this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. The word commandments. Study this. Get the Bible software, purebiblesearch.com. Get the Bible search. Study all the places where the word command or commandments are. There's a lot of them. You'll have to probably turn off Ellen in order to study the Word of God and spend some time with it. You'll see that the word commandment and statutes is synonymous, biblically synonymous, with His Word. Read Psalm 119 if you just want to shorten it down, because it's all there. The commandments, the statutes, and His Word. The law. The law is that phrase, commandments and statutes. Those are legal terms. And they are part of what you would find if you were looking at actually reading the language of a contract. The law is binding. A contract is binding. My contract with God is the new covenant. The old covenant sheds light on the new covenant, but my contract with God is the new covenant. I am not under the terms and the conditions of the old covenant. I'm not, and I won't be. So he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now I'm going to show you that commandments is his word. His word, all of it. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. See, there it is again. He's like, I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. And then he says, he that loveth me is loved of my Father, and I love him and will manifest to my... So it's all like the same thing again. The Father and Christ and you, all loving one another. Why? Because, look at verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, look at verse 23, he will keep my words. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Did you say, those of you who don't buy the whole Godhead thing, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, that they are separate and yet they are one. Look at verse 24. Verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, he and I, will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. The Jesus seminar back in the 70s or the 80s, a bunch of liberal United Methodists and other groups getting together to go through the four Gospels, and they were using their scholarly influence to decide what words Jesus really said and what he probably didn't say, and what they are 100% sure that he never said. They didn't keep his words, did they? They decided in their intelligence, and because probably 20% of them were homosexuals, closet ones then, now they're coming out in the open. They decided then that they didn't have to keep the words of Christ, that they didn't believe that the Bible had all the words of Jesus and that all the words in the Bible were the words of Christ. They didn't believe that. They threw them out. They tossed them out to the curb and said, and by the way, we don't believe it, so we're going to publish this Bible with our notes in it that says, you don't have to believe it either, but you're still a good person. So he said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Study the phrase all things in the Bible. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance at whatsoever I have said unto you. That's what I'm telling you. The Holy Ghost quotes Scripture. And if the Scripture that you read is wrong, then the Holy Ghost lied. I mean, you know how this goes, don't you? You were sitting in a church, and your preacher, you know, you say, well, you know, he preaches out of the King James. To be honest with you, that doesn't impress me anymore like it used to. He preaches, you know, he uses a lot of the King James, but, you know, he's sitting there and he started preaching, and we were reading out of the Scripture, and now he said, okay, now, it says here in your King James, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Oh, no, I got one better than that. I got an email somebody sent me a while ago. They said, you know, I go to this church and the pastor uses the King James, but he said, I don't think he believes it. Because he said in 2 Thessalonians 2, where the Bible says there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He says that what it really means is a catching away first. Did you hear that? Have you ever heard somebody say that? And I've had multiple people send me this. Pastor, we heard a guy saying, you know, the original Greek, and the King James got it wrong, that, you know, that's not the falling away that happens first, it's the catching away. The King James is wrong. I cannot begin to tell you how big a setup that is. A setup. Because what that man is doing, he is trying to put it in your mind that when the falling away happens, you want to be in on that. Because that's really the catching away, not the falling away. It's a setup. It's a trap. The man told you something that the Bible contradicted. He contradicted the words of God. Hebrews 13, I would not follow that man's faith. I would consider the end of his conversation. If he tells you that the falling away, really, that's an error. That's a mistake that those idiotic, stupid King James translators made. They should have never wrote that. They should have just stayed home. That's an error. What it really means is the being caught up. That's a lie. It's a setup, people. We understand. We get it, right? That where the falling away is going to take place is in the church and the churches all over the world. Not all of them. There's some good guys out there still hammering away at this old King James Bible, preaching it right. But these men that come up to you and say, now that's an error in trend. Who is it? Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart and his son, Donnie. I remember this from a couple years ago. I talked about this on their program, their little, you know, write-in program. They're going to answer, these are the scholars going to answer the questions. They actually mentioned, or maybe I'm remembering something wrong, in the Jimmy Swaggart Expositor's Bible, his notes on 2 Thessalonians 2, if I remember right, somebody correct me if you have one of these Bibles, says that it doesn't, the original Greek doesn't really mean falling away. What it really means is like being caught up. It's the rapture. See, here's the thing. You have this doctrine that says before anything happens, the rapture takes place. And yet Paul comes along in 2 Thessalonians 2 in the King James Version and says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. But your doctrine doesn't believe that. I mean, it says it. It says it right there, plain English, right there in 2 Thessalonians 2. It says it, but your doctrinal statement doesn't believe that. So what do you have? You've got a problem on your hands, don't you? You're either going to have to, you either have to change your doctrine. Oh, no. or you're going to have to come up with some way of changing the Bible because it didn't match your doctrine. People, that's dangerous. Jesus, our Savior, said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He won't trade them in for better words. He won't cast them aside. He won't add words to them. He'll keep them. You know, when he said earlier, if you love me, keep my commandments. I know we always say, keeping the commandments is like, you got to do the commandments. What's wrong with just understanding the word keep for what it really means? Naboth kept his vineyard. Means he didn't give it up. They had to kill him to take it. A lot of you out there, you're pro-gun like I am. And if the government comes by and says, we're the government, you have to turn in your guns because they're not safe and hand them all over to us. And most of you people out there are going to say, no, I'm going to keep my guns. I'll keep them. Hopefully you never have to use them. But I'm keeping my guns. And Jesus said, he that loves me will keep my words. Which means when the preachers come along and say, hand over what the King James Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2. Hand it over. You look at him and say, you can have 2 Thessalonians 2 when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. And all of God's people said, he said, these, if any man love me, he will keep my words. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father. These things have I spoken unto you, that being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. See, prophecy, that's why we study prophecy. Prophecy is the sign. And fulfilled prophecy is the sign that what God said was true and that we'll believe it. So verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And then John 15 kind of goes along with it. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. If. It's an if. I don't believe in an iffy salvation. But I have a contract with God, and there is a requirement on God's part, and there is a requirement on my part. And the only requirement that I have on my part is I keep these words, and they abide in me. I believe them. I believe every word in this book. That's the contract that God gave to me, and I agreed to it. 100% I agreed to it, to the glory of God the Father. But if a man abide not in me, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. I'm going to play a video. I'm going to do something. I kind of experimenting a little bit with the technology that we use to stream these broadcasts. And there's a way now that I can play YouTube videos. I used to try to download them, then convert them, and then format them, and then put them up here, and things like that. I got a different way of doing it. I had heard about this, but I forgot about it. For whatever you think of Ronald Reagan and all the conspiracy theories that go along with it, I want you to listen to what Ronald Reagan said about not just the Bible. Ronald Reagan was King James only. I'm not kidding you. I was listening to this a while ago, and I was shouting, not mad, happy. I want you to listen to this, and I listened to it a while ago. I can tell you that I personally, other than quoting scripture, I personally have never said words about the King James Bible as good as what he said it here. So, let me flip the scene over here. And I'm going to play this audio. In fact, let me do this right now. Here we go. We're going to transition over. See, you can still see my face up there. Listen to what Ronald Reagan said about the King James Bible.
What would you say if someone decided that Shakespeare's plays, Charles Dickens' novels, or the music of Beethoven could be rewritten and improved? I'll be right back. Writing in the Journal of the Alternative, Richard Hanser, author of The Law and the Prophets and Jesus, What Manner of Man Is This?, has called attention to something that is more than a little mind-boggling. It's my understanding that the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, has been the best-selling book in the entire history of printing. Now another attempt has been made to improve it. I say another because there have been several fairly recent efforts to, quote, make the Bible more readable and understandable, unquote. But as Mr. Hanser so eloquently says, for more than 3.5 centuries, its language and its images have penetrated more deeply into the general culture of the English-speaking world and been more dearly treasured than anything else ever put on paper. He then quotes the irreverent H.L. Mencken, who spoke of it as purely a literary work, and said it was probably the most beautiful piece of writing in any language. They were, of course, speaking of the authorized version, the one that came into being when the England of King James was scoured for translators and scholars. It was a time when the English language had reached its peak of richness and beauty. Now we're to have the Good News Bible, which will be in, quote, the natural English of everyday adult conversation. Well, I'm sure the scholars and clergymen supervised by the American Bible Society were sincerely imbued with the thought that they were taking religion to the people with their Good News Bible. But I can't help feeling we should instead be taking the people to religion and lifting them with beauty of language that has outlived the centuries. Mr. Hanser has quoted from both the St. James Version and the Good News Bible some well-known passages for us to compare. A few thousand years ago, Job said, "How forcible are right words." The new translators would have him saying, "Honest words are convincing." That's only for openers. There is the passage, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." Is it really an improvement to say instead, "The wiser you are, the more worries you have, the more you know, the more it hurts"? In the New Testament, according to Matthew, we read, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way." The Good News Version translates that into, "Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready." It sounds like a straw boss announcing lunch hour's over. The hauntingly beautiful 23rd Psalm is the same in both versions, for a few words. "The Lord is my shepherd." But instead of continuing with "I shall not want," we're supposed to say, "I have everything I need." The Christmas story has undergone some modernizing, but one can hardly call it an improvement. The wondrous words, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," has become, "Don't be afraid, I'm here with good news for you." The sponsors of the Good News Version boast that their Bible is as readable as the daily paper, and so it is. But do readers of the daily news find themselves moved to wonder, quote, "at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth," unquote? Mr. Hanser suggests that, sadly, the tinkering and general horsing around with the sacred text will no doubt continue as pious drudges try to get it right. It will not dawn on them that it has already been gotten right. This is Ronald.
Did you hear that? I have never said anything about the King James Bible as good as that is. I just had to play that for you. Somebody sent me an email that goes along with that. Let me try to find it. You guys have sent me so much stuff, and I really, really, really appreciate it. Let's see here. Keep writing emails in, by the way, and I'll try to go through this and find it. CERN, we're going to... Are you ready? Are you ready to learn about CERN? CERN, the teaching on CERN is coming up next week. Lindsay is... yeah, here we go. Lindsay is editing it right now. I hope you're excited. When I was talking about it yesterday, it was just absolutely... God was showing me things while I was recording yesterday, and I love it when he does that. Here is an email from... Let's see, that's not the one I want. Oh, yeah, here it is. Here it is. Listen to this. Somebody wrote this to me, and they said, "Oh, Pastor Mike, I'm just shaking right now. I went to a Christian bookstore this morning. While standing in the aisle looking at KJV Bibles, I overheard a conversation between the store salesman and an older gentleman who looked about 65 to 70. The gentleman was asking about Bible versions and saying every time he heard a Bible verse that wasn't KJV, that his mind always retranslated it into KJV. The store employee was saying horrible things about the KJV. All the lies about revisions and mistakes and going on and on and on about how wonderful the NIV was. He sounded so intellectual, using big words and standing there with a smile. Near the end of the conversation, KJV came up again, and the venom I heard in his voice was unbelievable. As he told the man that the KJV translators were pedophiles and drunkards, and the NIV and the ESV translators were godly men. I couldn't take it another second. I was so upset. Maybe I shouldn't have done it. Oh, no, you did the right thing, sister. Maybe I shouldn't have done it. Maybe I was usurping authority. I don't know, but I said, I'm sorry, but I have to interrupt. I went on to say things about staying with the KJV and mention things I've learned from you. The salesman simply said, well, I think we should end this conversation. Why? Because he was getting smacked is why, and he didn't want to keep it going. You know what that was? Cindy, I'm going to give you your first name. You know what that was, Cindy? The spirit that was in that guy started feeling very, very uncomfortable when you started bringing out the King James Bible. That's why he wanted to put a stop to, well, I think we probably need to stop this conversation. He was fine with it as long as everybody was listening to him put down the King James Bible. But when you stand up for it, well, I just think we got, whoa, everybody. I mean, we all love God, don't we? Then the older man made a beeline for the door without buying anything. He practically ran out the door. So did I. I was so shaken that I put down my items and went home. Thank you. Don't buy anything from them people. Them rascals, they want your money. They want you to walk in there and buy their junk and leave your money in there. She said it was awful. It was like listening to Satan himself. I witnessed everything you have been teaching about the attack on the KJV happen right before my eyes. I just wanted to cry. Sorry this is so long. Thank God for leading me to a good under-shepherd who feeds me. Please pray for that man that doesn't leave the pure word and go to the vine of Sodom. Cindy, on behalf of everybody listening except for the people who really hate the Bible, we thank you for standing up for the word of God. God, I promise you, will bless you. I promise you he will. And just for doing that, Cindy, You are now going to be the recipient of a free video of your choice from Prophetic Research Ministry. That's right. We will send you your very own free DVD from Prophetic Research Ministry. Here is another email. Pastor Mike, my wife and I have been listening to your teachings the past few months or so, and we've learned a lot. We thank the Lord Jesus for you and your ministry. We've learned to love the KJV, and we now believe that the King James Bible is 100% true, and we're finding pictures of Jesus throughout all our reading and study. That's because he's there. Jesus is in every place in that Bible. Don't let anybody tell you he's not. He's there. I'm writing to you today to tell you about a flyer we received yesterday about a local church. It's called Life Point Church. This is the website. Let me see if I can. Here it is, right here. Let me show you the Life Point website. I have to do a switch when I switch over to that. The Life Point Church website. I've attached pictures of the flyer. I found a few things interesting about this flyer. First of all, it was promoting all the good things they do. Where is that? I got a picture of that somewhere. Hang on here. I got some sixes to show you here in a little bit. Where's the Life Point flyer? Not that one. Oh, yeah, here it is. Here it is. I got to flip it around here for you. Why? See, by the way, look at this. Let me flip this around this way. What do you see? Okay? But anyway, look at this. Why has Life Point Church opened up Harmony Creek Community Center? Why do we run activities for cognitively impaired adults, host youth and children's programs, and distribute food? Why do we host many community partners with our facilities, such as music, dance, drama, and martial arts? Why do we host weddings, banquets, child care, corporate trainings, family celebrations, children parties? Why do we hold free community block parties? Why? It's because we believe that we work and earn salvation. Oh, no, that's not what it says there. But we believe in community. It's about being connected. It's about being there for each other. Let me explain to you what community is all about. Let me kind of get you to understand that concept. If you think that it sounds like communism, you're right. There is a doctrine called communitarianism. They are all part and parcel of the same idea. Letty was writing me the other Tuesday, and she wrote again today because she was asking about what's this hive mentality. It is community. It is the idea that we all have to be buzzing the same, like all the bees in the hive. By the way, the bees in the hive are controlled not by the king, by the queen. That's what this hive mentality is all about. It's all about us conforming to the image of the Antichrist and not Christ. It says that the communitarianism in Christianity, the idea of community in Christianity says that none of us can be saved if all of us can't be saved. Community says that it's not fair that one or two of you get to go to heaven and the rest of everybody else, well, they got to go to hell. That's not fair. So that's what this community nonsense is all about. Go read Matthew 25 in the parable of the 10 virgins. You'll see 5 virgins who had what they needed and 5 who were so lazy that they didn't do anything. And then when the call came out, the lazy ones went to the 5 that had and said, "We need oil. Please give us some oil. We need it. We're poor." And the 5 that had it said, "No, because if we give you ours, we won't have enough for ourselves." That is exactly why and if you are a born-again Bible-believing Christian, you believe that book, why you should be against socialism and communism. Why? Socialism, Barack Obama's health care, is all about socialism. It says, well, it's not fair that you people have health insurance and you people don't. Well, that's not fair. Hey, Barack, did it not ever occur to you that some people don't want health insurance? They don't want it. They're not going to use it. They don't want it. Did it not ever occur to you, Barack, that some people, it's not that they can't work, it's just that you've made life so comfortable for them that they don't want to. And that's why they don't have health insurance. And so we have to be taxed out of our eyeballs to pay for what these people won't do for themselves. Not that they can't. I am all for helping people who cannot help themselves. I'm all for it. What I'm not for is helping people who will not do anything for themselves. I have pastored for years. I have tried to help people repeatedly, physically, spiritually, financially, who refused to do anything for themselves. I knew a man. We helped his family many times financially. He didn't have a job, wouldn't take a job, and he boasted, "Why should I take a job? My wife works. We get money from the government. Why should I?" Worse than an infidel, the Bible says. But anyway, that's what community is all about. It's the hive mentality. And this church wants you to go to it, and they boast about what they do, what they perform. Look at what we're doing. It's a setup, people. And she said, let me keep reading the email. Second, their belief in community. Most of all, the line in small print really made it clear. The focus is on doing with an almost, we also have church, but we really don't want people to know attitude. Here's their doctrinal statement. We believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. So they believe the Bible. Wow, that's awesome. That the 66 books as originally written were inspired back then. When you watch the Watchmen video broadcast next week, you're going to understand what back here means. You're going to understand. In fact, here's what you can do. In preface to watching the Watchmen broadcast, I'm going to give you scriptures to study. Look at all the things that are back or backwards, including backsliders. You're going to like this. The doctrinal statement that says, we believe the Bible is back there in ancient history. It was inspired by God back there. Let me tell you something. I'm not going back there. I'm going forward. My goal and my hope is not in what God did at Mount Sinai. My hope is in what lies ahead. Paul said, I press toward the mark. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, let us press forward. Go that way, not that way. You study that. But the doctrinal statement that says, we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, and as it was originally written back then. In other words, they're saying, we believe the Bible is back there, but we can't get to it because it's back there in time. We can't get to it. I read that as originally written part and knew that this was not the place for my wife and my son nor me. It's very subtle, kind of nonchalant, but it's there. They don't believe that the KJV is God's translation of his word in English. I thank you for faithfully teaching the word of God, and I thank Jesus for saving me and teaching me that he has preserved his word. Amen. God bless you. What else? I'm going to do this live. You've heard the conspiracy stories, right, about Siri? Have you heard that? Some people sent me an email yesterday. Who was it? I don't remember. Rick and Ruth, was it, maybe? And he said, Pastor Mike, have you heard the idea? And I'm going to have to find it, or I won't be able to say it right. You know what Siri is, don't you? Siri is, let's see here. Why can't I find it? I can't find it. I got so much stuff. You guys have piled so much stuff on me that I don't know where all my stuff is. Where's the Siri email? Let's see. Let's go down here. Where is it? Who was supposed to remind me? Hang on. Because I got to read it exactly the way it is. No. Ah, here it is. Yeah, Rick and Ruth. Here we go. I've got my iPad. It's connected to the worldwide spider's web. And I'm going to activate Siri. Siri is on iOS devices, either iPhone or iPad. It is, you ask, it's kind of like Star Trek. Computer, start scanning the planet down there. And the computer does what you ask. Siri is like that. You ask Siri a question. Your question is not answered by your iPad. Your question goes to the main server, some computer somewhere, where everything that you asked is logged and stored. And then the computer generates an answer for you and sends it back to your iOS device. That's why you have to be connected to do it. So it says, this is from Ruth. Ask the question, what is July 27th, 2014? So I am going to ask Siri the question live on air. What is July 27th, 2014? Here we go. What is July 27th, 2014? Hello?
It's Sunday, July 27th, 2014, opening gates of Hades.
Did you hear that? Let me do this again. Siri, what is July 27th, 2014?
It's Sunday, July 27th, 2014, opening gates of Hades.
Opening the gates of Hades. Where in the world did that come from? I don't know. I don't know where it came from. But it's true. If you ask Siri what that is, you'll say, opening the gates of Hades. Who knows where that came from? I appreciate you guys sending that to me. Here is a... Sarah, I'm going to read your email now. And... I appreciate you sending this in. Since I'm talking about the Bible today, I want you to listen to this. Sarah, and I'm not going to be mean to you. Okay, I promise you I won't, but I'm going to be firm in my answer. Sarah says, first time on here, Pastor Mike, hope all's good your way. My question is for you is, have you ever heard of the wonderful book of Enoch? If not, you should read it. Also listen to a few wonderful saints of God, guys named Tom Horn, La Mazzulia, Chuck Missler, and Patrick Heron. You'll love these saints of God. My God is using these saints to spread his gospel. Sarah, here's what I'm going to say. Number one, Enoch, the man from Genesis chapter 5, who walked with God and was not, for God took him, that Enoch never wrote a book. He did not write a book. There is a book called the Book of Enoch. But Enoch did not write that book. It belongs to a group of manuscripts called Pseudepigrapha. Pseuda means it's a lie, the guy that put his name on there, like a pseudonym. Pseudepigrapha means that it says Enoch wrote it, but Enoch didn't write it. And in Jude, Jude quotes what Enoch said, not what he wrote. You go back and look. In fact, let's open up our... oh, by the way, I now have a can opener to go with my can. I love it. Thanks. I appreciate that. Let's open up that can, shall we? Let's go to the book of Jude, because he mentions Enoch in there. I was going to change chapters. There's only one chapter in Jude. Let's look at it. Jude, you go all the way down here. Let's see here. Here we go. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. It says that Enoch said it. It does not say that Enoch wrote it. Does not say that. And Sarah, I know that, you know, I know that guys like Horn and Marzulli and all these other guys, they talk about giants, and I talk about giants, and they talk about aliens, and I talk about aliens, and they talk about DNA, and I talk about DNA. But there is a difference between me and them. They think that there is truth in the book of Enoch. And I am saying to you, I've read it. There is no way in the world that I trust one thing that comes from the book of Enoch. I don't trust any of it. If the book of Enoch happens to say something that is word for word from the King James Bible, then I believe that part. But anything else that's in the book of Enoch, it cannot be trusted. It should not be trusted. It is not the word of God, and it does not have the gospel in it. Period. It's not there. Now, people have said, oh, but, you know, Pastor, there's some amazing, amazing messianic prophecies in the book of Enoch. If it's not from the word of God, the 66 books, perfectly translated, those prophecies are not pointing you to the real Messiah. They're pointing you to the other one. I have yet to do the study on that, to look at all the messianic prophecies in the book of Enoch. If you want to do that, that's fine. But I have a sneaking suspicion that these quote-unquote messianic prophecies from the book that Enoch didn't write are a setup to the other Jesus. It's what they are. Here is another email. Chris. How you doing, Chris? My name is Chris. I just wanted to drop a note. And he did drop a note. His wife made him pick it back up, though, because he's messing up the hallway. Just wanted to drop a note. It was a C sharp, too, by the way, to say how thankful I am for all the work you do. I was about to write, you have no idea how hard it is to find a solid Bible teacher online. But then I realized that you know exactly how hard that is to find. I have been enjoying getting edified, convicted, and repentant. Most people seem to forget what conviction is supposed to lead to. Of sins in my life that I didn't even realize were sins and educated. I struggled through the King James Word of God versus the modern perversions for over a year. I bounced back and forth between sides several times. And you know what? I'm going to say, before I read any more of this, God's patient with his people. I'm telling you, he is. He's very long-suffering and patient. What? You switch sides? How dare you? I'm killing it. God didn't do that with me. So anyway, he said, I think at one point from an older email, I even sent a message to you arguing with you about it. Even if you were never able to read it, I want to say that I'm sorry, brother. I believe at a few points that I was under direct spiritual attack to get me away from the Bible and into things like the ESV and even the New Living Translation. I remember one night picking up my King James Bible to read before bed and not being able to understand what I was reading, even though I had read that section several times before. At the time, I thought God was telling me that the modern versions are far better for today because they are easier to understand. Now I believe it was either an attack from the devil or the Lord was chastising me for doubting. Either way, I praise God for it because it has led me to the truth, and your ministry has been a big part of that. Let me see here. God has placed us in a unique situation where we get to share an internet connection with another house, the tools and ability to do something, and time enough to actually do it. So I'm starting to work on my own little ministry, calling it the John 16:31 Project. I'm currently working on two videos, and he goes on to describe what it is, what he's doing. But anyway, he said, I know you're a busy man. I'm sorry for such a long letter. But you're one of the very few people in the online world that I actually feel like is a real brother in Christ who is not ashamed of the gospel, exposes the unfruitful works of darkness, and believes in God's perfect word. So I'm pretty happy and excited about it all. You, your family, your church, and everyone who supports you are in my prayers. With great love, Chris. Chris, I appreciate that. I really do. And many people write in and say the same thing, and we appreciate them for doing it. Here is another email that I wanted to deal with today. I got so much to talk about today. This is from JM. He says, Hi, sir. Have you been, now over a year hearing you, and I simply love the KJV and the teachings God tells me through you. I have a question. Pastor once told me that according to Hebrews 10:26 and on, if a Christian sins willfully after knowing Christ, there's no more sacrifice to do, and so will go to hell. Is that so, sir? Because I am honest, after knowing Jesus, I have sinned willfully, and I am not proud of it. But when I told this to that pastor, he told me, I'm very sorry, but you will go to hell according to Hebrews 10. Since that day, I'm shaking. Is that so? Help. Thanks for your time. Let's read the Word of God. Okay, let's read the Word of God. We're going to do here a little and there a little is what we're going to do. In fact, let me flip on over here to the King James Bible. We're going to look in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to the key verse here is verse 26. But we're going to go back here to walk circumspectly around it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, or by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the word of God, by the way. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. It is by faith. And even some of you out there who believe that Hebrews is only for the Jews because it teaches a work salvation, that is not what it says here. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. It's not ever by works. It is by faith. He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin, here's the key word here, willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries, and so on. So now, he says, if we sin, how? Willfully. Let me show you from the Bible what that means. Romans 7. I want you to look at what Paul said. Let's see here. Let's start reading. Okay, watch this. Let's start in verse 14. Paul knew that he had a dual nature in him. He still had the rotten, filthy, disgusting flesh, but he also had the spirit in him. And so Paul is talking about the law. He's talking about and sin and so on. So he says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I," look at here, this word here, would. Would is a will word. Paul has it in his will to do right. But he said, "For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not," that's his will. "My will is that I never sin again. My will is that I believe the Bible and Christ and put my salvation and my trust completely in Jesus Christ. That's what my will is. My flesh doesn't allow it." So let's go back and read it. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I." Notice the I here. He says, "That which I do, I allow not." He's got two eyes here. I've got two eyes, one, two. They're both the same size, one, two. And this eye refers to the flesh. This eye refers to the spirit inside of him. "That which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate on the inward man, that do I. If then I do that which I would not," his will is to not sin, "I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will," there's the word, there it is in plain view, "for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am." Paul was confessing right there that in his flesh, he was a sinner. But it had to do with his will. And that's what Hebrews was saying. "For if we sin willfully," you know what that means? That the will on the inside of you, that's all you are all about. You don't care anything about being saved. You don't care anything about going to heaven. You don't care anything about that. In fact, you have talked yourself into believing that you can do whatever you want to do and live however you want to live and hate God and hate His Word. And nothing's going to happen to you. That's what it means to sin willfully. So, J.M., that pastor that told you that if you sin once after you get saved, you're going to hell, do not follow his faith. He doesn't have any. Do not follow his faith. Let me show you some pictures. Picture pages. Let's do, some of you have been sending me some 666s all over the place. I think that's all you got on your mind is 666 stuff. Let's go back here, and you sent me some good stuff. This one floored me. Take a look at this. This was on 7 News. This is somebody speaking at the Medical Research Institute. And I want you to notice here, 666 in plain view. 666 medical research. There is something about the whole medical establishment, which, I mean, I've said this before. I go to a doctor. I take some medicine for this, that, and the other. It's not giving me the mark of the beast yet. But I think there is coming a time you can see it. There it is right there. You can see it coming. Somebody saw this in a mall. 666 mall decorations. The Axe bottles. The Phoenix. See the X there? It's like the chromosomes. Here's another one. By the way, this is that subtle conditioning. No, this doesn't have conditioner in it. The subtle conditioning to get your subconscious, that's what, let me go back here. That's what this is. You're watching this guy and he's talking, but in the background, because the devil never comes in here straight on. He always comes in like at the side here. There is, you're being conditioned into the hive here. You're being conditioned to a number. You're being brought to it without your awareness. Here, you're being brought to something else without your awareness. We have the letter S, E, and X. And your mind picks up on that. Here is Apollo, 2 in 1. Apollo's the god who just happens to be the god who is half human and half god. He literally is 2 in 1. Here's a church. Take a look at this. Or a conference. One of these Christian conferences that everybody's doing. The Encounter Conference. Right arm, man. Right arm. See the logo? Sixes. Here, it's here and here. They want you to be in the community. They want you to be in the hive. As a website I go to every day because I have an iPad and I like to see what good apps are out there. And here's one that said, become a god as you play Baldur's Gate 2. This game, I have not looked into it yet. It's one of these fantasy role-playing games that apparently, oh, by the way, I just saw this. See the obelisk here? Check that out. But you become a god as you play this game. We saw that a while ago. There's a new movie coming out called The Marked Ones. You see that? The circle inside the triangle. There is a book called The Mark, and it used that symbol. And it was a book written about 50 years ago, and it basically said, we need to evolve as a species so we can be better. The symbolism of the skull, but this is supposed to be, I guess, like the Virgin Mary or something like that. The marked ones. Got a mark on the forehead. I forgot who sent me this. Tanning lotion, tanning optimizer. See that? See the hive here? That you're, oh, this is pretty cool. The sixes are here, and then you have the yin and the yang. You have the compass and the square here. Opposites fused together. Yeah, we saw that the other day. Oh, here's a good one. Old Spice. 666. You know, if you just see this stuff in one place, it's, you just go, oh, well, okay. But we see it everywhere. Here's some shoes that if you wear them, the Wave Prophecy shoes with the Beehive 666s all over it, you will experience the supernatural. That's crazy, people. Absolutely crazy. Let me do this. There is a video. You know, Chuck Smith is dead. And they're telling me the Calvary Chapel thing's going downhill. Here is, and the name of the video is Amazing Grace Like You've Never Dreamt of Hearing It. Here is where all of the churches are headed, Calvary Chapel or otherwise. Take a listen to this. You might want to turn your speakers down a little bit. Get ready. You're going to vomit for this one. There's a little kid there. Doesn't that make you sick? And just kind of look at the audience here. Let me go back here. You see this? They got all the lights up on the triangle stage. And the congregation is where? In darkness. You know why? Because men love darkness rather than light. I've had enough of that. I've had enough of that. Can't take any more of it. People, the Lord is coming soon. Trust me on this one. You can just tell it. What else do I have here? What else? That was that. I got some other things. You know what? Let's do some emails. Let's spend some time hearing from all y'all today. All right. Let me pull my email thing up here and let me do a couple things here. And we'll do this. All right, here we go. Let's see here. Ray. I got to turn my volume down now. Ray. Hi, Pastor Mike. King James Bible never says the word rapture at all. Please tell me why so many preachers say the word rapture, and by them saying that word, isn't that false words not in the Bible? Ray, let me ask you a question, okay? Before I answer this, you seem to have, and I'm trying not to judge you, but you seem to have something in your crawl against the translation. Now, I can't answer for all these other preachers on why they say what they say. I can't answer that. I will tell you that I am a big fan of using biblical terms. I am. But we also have to understand that other terms are part of our vernacular. I'm not kidding you. I had a guy call me one time and he said, yeah, he said, you know, a friend of mine put me on to you. And he said, you know, we listen to you all the time. And he said, but my friend came to me and he said, I'm not listening to Hoggard anymore. He's in the Illuminati. And the guy said, what? How do you know? You hear him all the time referring to his children as kids. And everybody knows that kids are from goats. And Hoggard is telling everybody that you are goat children of his and he's in the Illuminati. I'm not listening to him anymore. Really? There are things in our vernacular that are just part of our everyday speech. And when I say the word kids, it is commonly understood that I'm referencing my children. I have never seen little horns coming out of my children. Never have. They've never come into me and went, Ed. Never have. So, Ray, just because a preacher uses the word rapture, it's an English word. go look it up. Look up the etymology of the word rapture. It is based upon a Latin word which means caught up. So even if it's not in the King James Bible, and it's not, and you have heard me say, I think we ought to, in our doctrines, in our teaching, in elaborating on things, I have a preference for using King James language because it's always right. But I had a call from an old friend of mine, lives out in South Carolina. Man, I love him to death. Old Glenn called me yesterday. Hey, Pastor Mike, how you doing? He talks just like that. I love him. And he was asking me something that I believe about the rapture, the translation. And I said, Glenn, I did a Bible series. I did a Watchman series called The Translation. And it's like three or four, you know, videos in this set. He said, you know what? I've got those. I haven't watched them because I thought it was on the Bible translation issue. And he said, I kind of know what you said about that. And I haven't watched them. And I said, well, it's about the rapture is what it is. Well, I'll have to go back and watch them then. And so, I mean, if it would have said the rapture, he would have, you know, would have caught on to it. But I used the biblical term, the translation. But I had to explain it to him in the words that he's commonly using. So, I get it. And I'm all for using Bible language, but sometimes we kind of have to meet people halfway so we can bring them the rest of the way. And you'll hear me use that word every now and then, but I usually try to follow it up with translation to let them know this is exactly what I'm talking about. If, Ray, and I don't know this, if you are trying to say that there is no such thing as a translation of the church exactly the way it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Kings chapter 2, Genesis 5, and other places. If you say that, you're wrong. And if you base it on the fact that word rapture is not even the Bible, if you base it on that, then you're wrong because it's there. It's clearly taught doctrinally. It's taught typologically. It's all throughout the scriptures. It's there. And Glenn asked me, so do you believe in the rapture? I said, absolutely, brother, absolutely. And I said, this is where I went with it. So, Ray, I appreciate the question. It's a good question. I am a little curious about why you ask, all right? Corey, Pastor Mike, do you think that fallen angels are here on the earth right now? I mean, do you think they pretend to be people and are in control of worldly things like banks, TV stations, music, and other popular things that us earthlings like? Duh! Absolutely. That's the whole point of Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, Corey, there are angels that left their first estate. Jude tells us this. Genesis 6 tells us that God cast into prison. They are not on the earth right now. They are under the earth. But there are, here's how the Bible says it. The Bible calls them devils. The Bible calls them gods, little g, and the Bible calls them evil angels. Most certainly, they are around us right now. Let me give you an illustration. I can't remember which king, it was Hezekiah or Jehoshaphat, one of the two, when they were there with Ahab, and they were trying to figure out whether they should go to battle with Ahab the next day. Ahab said, I got it. All of my prophets done told me that we was going to win this here battle. And I 400 of them told me that. And they said, isn't there somebody else that, you know, we can hear from the Lord on this? Well, you know, I got Micaiah out there, but I don't like him. He don't say what I like for him to say. He won't be on my payroll. And so they brought him in. Micaiah, what do you say here? He said, let me tell you what God told me. God was asking, I need someone to go and lie to Ahab. And a spirit said, I'll do it. And God said, how are you going to do it? He said, I'm going to go be a lying spirit in the mouths of all the prophets of Ahab. God said, I like how you think. Go do it. And that's exactly what he did. And so, Corey, I absolutely know for a fact. I don't just believe it or theorize it, or that's a conspiracy theory of mine. It is fact that these devils are everywhere. They are in control. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2. So, good question, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Tracy, there's a poster at her school. I'm going to show you this poster. Watch this now. This is at her school, and the school welcomes you. Students of all religions, students of all race, ethnicities and nationalities, students with diverse abilities, students of all body types, students who are LGBT, BLT, students of all socioeconomic backgrounds, students of all family structures, students who are English something learners, English language learners. This school welcomes you. What about the Bible-believing Christians? What about them? Tracy, you already know the answer to that one, don't you? Okay. Freddie, hey, Pastor Mike, I go to a church that uses the King James Bible, but my pastor believes in using the NIV Bible, too. He says the NIV will help us understand words better. I'm confused. You know why you're confused? Because your pastor is not and cannot give a consistent message from God. Cannot. Ask your pastor to preach a message from 1 John 5:7. Ask your pastor to preach a message from Daniel 3:25. Ask your pastor, Pastor, can you help me with something? I'm confused. Who was it that was in the fiery furnace? The Son of God or a son of the gods? Who was in there? He's going to give you some nonsense hodgepodge about, well, you need to understand that in the original Hebrew, it said blah, 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 blah. And the people of that day, they didn't really know who that was. And see, that's a lie. Because I was told that by a guy. Nebuchadnezzar didn't really know who that was. So he called him the son of the gods. That's a lie. You read Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar knew exactly who that was in there. Because he admitted it afterward. He knew who was in there. Freddie, let God lead you, all right? That's why, and you're going to be confused. Danny says, hi, Pastor, I'm having a hard time with a few family members. See, we have two women pastors in my family, and even though I love both of them dearly, I still told them the women preachers are wrong. Now, they and a lot of my family are turning against me. Danny, I think I talked about this recently. I know you. Listen, somebody said I look like the family guy. I am a family guy. My aunts, uncles, cousins, my grandparents, these are the best people I have in my life. And I love them dearly, dearly. I've got an uncle who is a 32nd degree Shriner Mason. I have an aunt who is in a sort of an off branch of the Jehovah's Witness. They're called Christadelphians. I love them dearly. But I'm not giving up who I am and what I believe because of them. Hardest thing I ever did one time, just recently, a few years ago, was visiting my aunt and uncle and my cousin. She died a year after I did this. She was about 10 years older than me. And we were just, me and Sweetie Pie was there, and we had the kids there, and we were just visiting down in Arkansas. And I said, just out of the blue, I said, you know, I love you guys very much. I said, but I just want you to know that before you leave this world, you need to know whether or not you're going to go to heaven when you die. And I want to tell you what, I was sweating bullets. I was sick to my stomach. It's not easy for me to be personally confrontational. And I didn't do it like, you sick heathen Jew. I didn't do that. My aunt said, I am ready to go. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. She goes to a Baptist church there in town. I have no reason to believe she's lying. My uncle never said a word. I love him. Think the world of him. But I'm not going where they're going. And I can't. Danny, I know that it's probably hard to take. It's hard to deal with. But if all you got to do is stand still, you won't have to leave them. They will leave you, and they are leaving you. Because there's something that you need to love more than these women. And that is the Word of God. You love truth. And we just read this morning, John 15, maybe that's why God had me read that this morning. In John 14, Jesus said, if you love me, then you love my words. If you don't love me, you won't keep my words. And there is a difference, Danny, between the spirit that is in you and the spirit that is in them. It's not the same spirit. I love you. I probably would love these people, but it's not the same spirit. And somebody's got to stand for it. It might as well be you, all right? Lonnie and Bobby, how y'all doing? Some of the large universities are planning to pay for sex change operations to entice more kids to their school. I have not heard that, but wow. Let me read this. I'm not going to give a name. I know who you are, and you're going to know that I'm reading this, but just so that, you know, I'm not giving anything out you don't want me to say online. As I struggled daily with the loss of my wife, there were times when I asked, what can I learn from this? Dealing with the unbearable separation from her, I began to understand something on a much deeper level than I've ever thought or experienced before. If losing my wife is this painful, what would it be like to lose the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost forever? It is staggering beyond comprehension. Thanks for being my pastor and helping me through this. God bless Pastor Michael Hogger and all the congregation of Bethel Church. You know what? Matt, you and Danny, God told you to write this today. Here Danny is struggling with the loss of, in his family, two women preachers who will not go along with it. He's struggling with it. And did I already say Matt? Yeah, I think I already did. Matt, you're struggling with the loss of your wife, but you see that it would be worse if you lost the Lord. I think God wanted you both to write in today, because God wants you to know He loves you. He's there. And you can count on Him. You can love Him, and He will. I get it. I would hate at this point in my life to lose my wife. I cannot fathom that. She can't either. But I know that I would never be alone. I sometimes struggle with human companionship, and I don't mean like a man and a woman. I mean like a earthly friend. And I'm always reminded by my friend. That he's never left me alone. He's my friend. And I'll take that. I'll take that any day of the week. And I've lost earthly friends here. Some I have offended. Some have offended me. And I've lost earthly friends down here. I've never lost my heavenly one. Never, never have. Hang on to him, guys. Okay? Won't be long. Fiona. Didn't I see you in a movie? Nah, just kidding. My husband and I attend a Baptist church, KVG. First problem is that they want to baptize us again. Otherwise, we cannot become members and therefore cannot partake of the communion. I thought this was strange, but willing to go along. My husband was not so willing. Another pastor came over to visit us, a mission that we support, and he did not partake of the communion, giving the reason that he is not a member of our church. They also seem to believe that only people who are Baptist are saved and that each church is the body of Christ. Is this biblical? Also, even though they say they believe the KJV, I don't believe they do so, as they told me to ignore Matthew 24. They told you to ignore Matthew 24. And that second, see, this is where I got this. You thought I was making this up. Fiona says 2 Thessalonians 2:3 didn't mean falling away. It meant taking away, as in catching away. That's slick. Now, Fiona, let me help you with something. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, they are synoptic. In other words, they are companions to each other. They give the same discourse. The idea of what Matthew 24 says, the coming of the Lord and the gathering of his saints and all of that stuff. There are people who will tell you, ignore it. It's not for you. It was not spoken to you. It was spoken only to these people right here in this little area here. It's not for you, so you ignore it. Stop right here. Mark 13. In fact, you know what? I want to show it to you. I'm going to whoop open this can here. And you're going to see it with your very own eyeballs. I'm going to show you Mark chapter 13. Let me click on over here. Mark chapter 13. You can compare Matthew 24 with Mark 13 and Luke 21. You'll see little subtle differences, but you'll see that they are speaking of the same thing. Let's get the context here. Let's walk circumspectly. Let's go to verse 32 of Mark 13. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. Now, let me back up here so you know what he's talking about. In verse 24, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be dark, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, and from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. What does that look like to you? The Son of Man coming in the clouds and gathering the elect. What does that look like to you? But they tell you to ignore it because they say that's not written to you. It's only written to Israel. So let's read then from the Word of God. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Four times. Even, midnight, cock crowing, morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Verse 37. Tell me who he said it to. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. watch. Who did he say it to? All. That's who he was talking to. Yeah, but, you know, Peter was the apostle to the Jews, and so Peter was only speaking to the Jews. Paul was the apostle to the Ephesians. And he said, Paul the apostle to the Ephesians. Does that mean only the Ephesians should listen to what Paul said? What about the Galatians? What about the Romans? What about the Philippians? What about those in Thessalonica? Paul wrote it to them, was speaking to them, but it's to all. That's what it says. Fiona, I love you. I love you. I love people who love the King James Bible. I love people who hate the King James Bible. I love your pastor. But he's not telling you it. If your King James Bible says that there's going to come a falling away. In fact, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. You're going to remember that gathering thing? Let's look at it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's just believe what the Bible says. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our what? Gathering together unto him. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man, listen, Fiona, let no man deceive you by any means. Fiona, your apostle told you, your authority told you to not let anybody deceive you by any means. And if your King James Bible says one thing and a man says something the opposite of that, he's a liar. He's not telling you the truth. You have the truth in the Bible. And so he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come by what day? Our gathering together unto him, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the day of Christ. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It is inexcusable to me. Inexcusable to me. Why any man of God who says, we only use the King James Version here, we only use the King James Bible, because his doctrine doesn't agree with what the Bible says, you change the Bible then. Or you say, but, you know, Pastor, you know, says right here in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21 that it says that that's not really going to happen that way. Well, you can ignore those. Because they're not, that's not for you. That's for somebody else. That's not for you. See, that's pretty slick, isn't it? Listen, I love God's men. I am not nice about God's men changing the Bible or abdicating it, leaving it, setting it aside. That's you don't have to read that. Don't worry about that. Nothing to see here. Move along. Just read this little piece here. And by the way, we got this big look from Darby and Larkin. And we've got all these big books here for you to read. That'll get your mind straight. I think you ought to just read the Bible. I think you ought to be Bereans. The Bereans did not go to the commentaries. They did not ask the scholars. They did not go to the Bible colleges. They searched the scriptures to see whether these things are true or not. And Fiona, it's a very simple thing that you can do. The man says, don't read that. Jesus said, well, why not? I said it to everybody. The man says, that doesn't mean falling away. It means being caught up. But the Bible says falling away. You have to decide who you're going to follow. Let's see here. What's that? That's a picture. Oh, here's a good one. You're going to like this one. It took me a while to see it. The 666 is on the gingerbread man's forehead. You see it? And you see, you decorate it, you add all the little stuff here, but if you look here, the 666 is like graven in the gingerbread man. That's pretty slick. Chris, I appreciate you sending that. Let's see here. Karen. Dear Pastor Mike, hope is all as well with you and yours. I have an online friend who is a KJV-only gal, and she says the Bible insinuates the sun moves around the earth as opposed to the earth moving around the sun. Here we go. Based on verses such as Joshua 10:13, and the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And the rising and the setting of the sun and so forth. She says she believes the Bible over science and man. My question to you is this. Does she have the understanding of such verses correct in a literal sense that the sun moves around the earth? I've tried on my own to find the answer to this, but everywhere I read about the sun in the Bible seems to validate her argument all the more. Thank you for such a wonderful ministry and the opportunity to ask these questions. Signed, Karen B. Karen? I'm just going to lay it out to you. The sun goeth in his circuits. That's Psalm 19. And this is not a popular theory nowadays. Before Copernicus, everybody believed that the earth was established, that it cannot be moved, and that the sun went in a circuit. If you read the King James Bible, I had a guy send me a book on geocentricity. And I'm going, okay, a flat earth guy. And I opened it up, and I saw that he was staunch for the King James, and that he quoted a lot of scripture. And this was, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, something like that. So what I did was, after I kind of got the gist of what he's saying, I went through his book and looked only at the scriptures. And when I got done, I said, it looks to me like the earth doesn't move, and that the sun goes in a circuit around the earth. Because let's take this example. I don't have golf balls in here. We have the earth, we have the moon. Now, the moon goes around the earth. Science says the sun doesn't go around the earth goes around the sun. When you read Joshua 10, Joshua did not command the earth to stop. He commanded both the moon and the sun to stop right here. He commanded that to take place. I'm not telling you to go home and divorce your husband over it, or your wife, or leave your church over it. I'm not telling you to do that. Because it's something that we currently, I don't understand how it all works. But if you were to put a gun to my head and ask me straight out, I'll pull this trigger if you say the sun goes in a circle around the earth. I would have to say, I would have to just quote scripture is what I would have to do. So, good question. I appreciate it. Hi, Pastor. I think Job 25, 4 through 6 absolutely destroys work salvation. It is impossible without Jesus. The part about the stars is really interesting. Let's see here. Job 25, 4. Let me pull that up here. Job. Anybody looking for a job? It's right before the Psalms. Job 24, isn't that what he said? 24, 6. They reap everyone. Is that where it is? Job 25. My mistake. See, I've made mistakes before. Job 25, verse 6. How much, let's see. Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm. I think I get it. Oh, he said 4 through 6. Let me go back to verse 4. How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Absolutely, you're absolutely right. Justification is by faith alone. Alejandra, appreciate you writing that in. Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? The question is Lucifer a man, beast, or both? Yes. Okay. He is a dragon. But they asked in Isaiah 14, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? In Ezekiel, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, yet thou art a man. So he is a man in the, I think, in the masculine sense, but he is also a beast. Hans says, Pastor Mike, I'm so confused on the rapture of the church. Is there a biblical timeline explained in the Bible? And you're using words such as pre-wrath or pre-trib. Would appreciate a short answer. Okay. You will never find the word pre-wrath or pre-trib in the scriptures. Never. If you want a short answer from me and you're asking me about the timeline of the translation, I will absolutely tell you without batting an eye, as truthfully as the Word of God is, that it occurs at the last trump. There. How was that for short? All right. Let's see here. Let's see here. Look at that. Some of you are sending me articles to read. I appreciate that. Daniel says, having grown up Catholic, it is true you have to go through the church to be saved according to Catholic doctrine. A person is saved when they are baptized into the Catholic Church. The church has taken the place of Jesus in the giving out of salvation. I rejoice that many people have been saved out of Catholicism. In some ways, a Catholic priest is like the Old Testament high priest, having forgotten that Christ has torn the veil in the temple with access to God at Calvary. Thanks. I appreciate that, Daniel. Daniel, words spoken in truth, brother. I appreciate that. Cameron says, hey, brother, is there any correlation with the 5 months of punishment, Revelation 9, and the 150 days, 5 months, where the flood prevailed in the earth? And is there any more examples of 5 months in the Bible? Yep. Yep, there is. As it was in the days of Noah. And there was 5 months there. And there's 5 months in Revelation 9. There's 5 months in Luke chapter 1. And I think they're connected to the five things that happened. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Keith says, preachers are now saying the power of your mouth, just speak it and it will happen. You know what? You know, that music, it's annoying. Let me get rid of it. I'm not done reading questions. I'm having a lot of fun here today. Bear with me. Preachers are now saying the power of your mouth. Just speak it and it will happen. I guess they have not read Matthew 7:7, Luke 11:9, Revelation 3:20, knock, seek. When we knock, we're asking. Knock in the word means keep knocking until answered. We're supposed to keep asking in all faith. Keith, I appreciate that. Robbie. Hey, Pastor Mike, what does God say about people like me who tries to look and be my best? I look in the mirror every morning and tell myself, I know I can, I know I can, I can. I try to stay positive and look at life in a great way. I think it's say it and do it. Is that a bad thing in God's eyes? Let me tell you something, Robbie. As long as you are saying that you can, God won't. That's the fact. You want to think positive? Think that you are a worthless, hell-deserving, wretched, sinful, lustful, proud. I could keep going, couldn't I? Your heart, you keep telling yourself, I can, I can, I can. You know why? It's because your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And until you decide that you can't, God will never. Because he resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So I never go to God. I never look at myself and say, Mike, you can do it. Mike, I believe in you. Mike, people like you. I don't do that. Mike, you're my biggest enemy. Mike, I hate your stinking guts. Mike, there is no good thing in you. Sin dwelleth in you. God, I need help. That's what you do. If you want to listen to Joel Osteen on that, that's fine. But that's not my problem, all right? TheAirportRentals.com has a special offer for me. Appreciate that. Let me read a couple more here. Larry says, you might like this, Pastor Mike. Remember when you taught that Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report, but the 10 came back with evil report? You said the 10 were the 10 commandments, so the 2 then be the 2 commandments that Jesus gave us. Absolutely. Isn't that something? The 10 says you can't. Take that, WorldNet Daily. The 2 says you can. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. I like it. Larry, you the man. I already have way more emails than I can get to today. I'm looking for one more. Brian, I ruined you for life, didn't I? Brian says, oh my goodness, I wish you wouldn't have mentioned that someone said you look like the Family Guy. I know that I will see you as Peter Griffin from now on. I'm only here to help. Only here to help. All right, I got to get out of here. Sweetie Pie is waiting on me. She's wanting me to cook stir fry tonight. So that's what I'm going to go do. I love y'all. God bless you. I love that book. I love every word in it. And I know there's some guys out there that are mad at me because they want you to believe something that's not in that book. I don't want to be your enemy. But if I am, because I tell people to read that book, then I can't help it. All right. Watchman Video Broadcast. Back to the Future is coming out Sunday. Be ready for it. We'll see you.